So, last week we started the Perek, and we saw the prohibition in the Gemara of fishing on Yom Tov. So we noted that the problem is that ostensibly one should be able to fish on Yom Tov because it is Ochel Nefesh, because it's food-related, and on Yom Tov, things which are food-related are permitted. So we had several opinions. So first of all, we had Rashi's position. Just to summarize, Rashi's position, which was that even though it's Ochel Nefesh, it's Efshar Mi Be'od Yom. Tosos challenges this and says there is no distinction between things you can do before Yom Tov or on Yom Tov for Ochel Nefesh itself. It's only for Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. And therefore rejects it. And we said Rashi presumably is predicated in the assumption that Ochel Nefesh is Tchuya, meaning the Isser still is in effect, but it's held in abeyance. And therefore, you need to justify every act for the sake of Ochel Nefesh, and if you could have done it before Yom Tov, so then it's not justified. Justice challenges this. I mean, as we noted, there are two other ways of approaching Ochel Nefesh. One is Hutra, and one is beyond Hutra, right? Hutra meaning the Isser is eliminated, and the even sort of more advanced level is Lo Nemra, which is to say that no, as the Ramban notes, Yom Tov and Shabbos are fundamentally different creatures. Shabbos has 39 Malachos, Yom Tov has 32, 3, whatever it's going to come out. That basic position is, again, that's the Ramban's position. Now, based on that, so why is Tzad out? So the Yerushalmi has Exeris HaKasuv, and from which we derive that it's only from Lishan and on. Now, that may be based on a Ramban-like Svara, even if it's not, you know, exactly what the Ramban says, at least Al Torah, but, right, a Ramban-like Svara. The Ran seems to say that, no, that's actually only a Derabanan limitation. The Derais or really any malacha for Ochel Nefesh is permitted, but Derabanan, we don't allow you to do anything which is meant for a long time, which may be exactly what the Ramban is getting at. I mean, we saw that the Rajba takes that same Svar and he says it on the level of Derais, that the difference between malacha that you can do and that you can't do on Yom Tov are those that are meant for a long time, because those are work-related malacha, what the Ramban calls Melechet Avodah, as opposed to ones which are usually done immediately prior to Achila, which aren't going to be Avodah. We noted that it's possible that the Ramban does, that the Ran actually doesn't mean that it's Derabanan. It probably does, but it might not, because the Rashba had called it Masar Adava L'Chachamim, which, as we noted from Rashi Weiss, means sometimes Chazal actually legislate Deraisa into being, because they have the ability to define the parameters of the Deraisa. So maybe that's what he means. We noted that Tosfos and Shabbos, that we'd seen a few months ago, seems to take a radical Hutra position, which is that any malacha that could possibly be construed as Ochel Nefesh, so becomes Mutter on Yom Tov, even not L'Shem Ochel Nefesh, and therefore since his case is making cheese is a function of Bona, so even building your house is only Asa Midir Abanan. I said that's probably not Lo Nemra, right? Because the whole argument of Lo Nemra is that the normal malacha that you use for food, they're not part of the framework, but building, which is michutz la le misgeret, you would think wouldn't be included in that exceptional category. So Tosfos probably is, you know, Hutra, which is in certain ways more expansive, certain ways less expansive than the Ramban. We noted some of the problems with the Ramban Svara, which we noted again already a few months ago, which is, if that's the case, how is it usher to cook for Goyim? How is it usher to cook for Klavim, depending on that Machlokes? So we noted at the time the Tosfos and Daf Yud Beis and the Avni Miluim and his Chuvot suggest that that's, maybe it's a separate Isser, an Isser Asay or something like that, but given it's not actually Malacha. Okay. Now, so if it's not a problem of like Rashi, or it's not a Derais or Derabanan problem the way the Chachmei Svard take it, so what else could it be? So Tosfos introduces the possibility based on the Rashi Mikinon, that or someone Mikinon, that it's a Dome Lekotzer, right? That because it's Oker Davar Migidulo. Probably Derabanan, but maybe Darais. It could be Darais. So we do find some sort of weird Oker Davar Migidulos. So for example, Kotzer, classically, is cutting something from the ground. But halachically, if you have, let's say, a fungus, which is growing on a kli, right? You have a mushroom that grows on a kli. If you remove that mushroom, it's also Kotzer, because that's Oker Davar Migidulo. So it could be that he thinks it's even a raisa, and therefore it's not a problem with tzad. It's that it's domed a kotzer, and kotzer is excluded, or he means in the level of dirabbanan. The last possibility in this sugya, which is the one we hadn't touched on last week, is the position of the Rambam and the Meiri, which is that the problem here isn't daraisa, dirabbanan, of ochel nefesh at all. It's something totally different, and that is mukta. Right, simply, it's a problem of mukta. So you look, for example, in 13, this is where we're up to, the Meiri. This is Amar HaMeiri. Ein sodin dagin min habibrin biyom tov. U'tchilas adarim tzarachat haleida shelo hutra chatan lamdinash. Ein sodin dagin min hayomim u'min haneharos. V'lo chayv of v'ganodu farday sim v'yarim. She'ein elu mizumanin klal u'mukta gamorim. So no one needs to tell me that you can't fish from the sea or from the rivers, and you can't hunt animals from the orchards and from the fields, the forests, because those are not prepared at all, and therefore they're obviously completely mukta, right? They view this so you're completely differently. It's not a deraisa problem of ochel nefesh. Ochel nefesh, whatever, as we said, could be solved, could not be, that's the whole machlokas, but leave that aside. No, there's not an ochel nefesh problem. For ochel nefesh would be fine. The problem is that tzad, unlike other malachot, is about bringing something into your rishus, which means that before it was outside of your it wasn't under your auspices. If it's under your auspices, then it is not set aside before Yom Tov. If it's not set aside before Yom Tov, then it is mukta. That's what mukta means. And he says, "V'af hachana shemayes malein moelus behem," and saying preparing it yesterday doesn't help. What are you going to say? The animal that I might catch tomorrow is prepared. It doesn't work. You don't know that you're going to catch it. Aval elu shebetocha bibrin shebabayez vein brechot shalmayim ukavos merba ruchos. So hayelan ulomar bohem. Shein nitilasem nikreis tzeda umizumanim heim. But you might have thought that, let's say, you have a private stream. So then you would say, oh, the fish in my private stream. Oh, water. it's like contagious. You might have thought that if you have a private stream in your, you know, on your estate, so then it's not tzeda it's not muksa because, you know, these fish are all within my river, my stream, my private pond. So that's what the Mishnah is telling you. The balulam deinu she'ein sadeno sam veinikram zumanim neishadagim nishmaten heim lechor mustakim lechosare tzedahem. So the Mishnah tells you it's not true. Because even though you have your river, so you have your ponds, you know how many fish, you know, you know that there are fish there, you know how many, whatever. So you might have said it's not muksa because it's set aside. It's not true. Because fish hide. It's not so easy, right? Why do people go fishing in their pond? Why isn't it that they can just pull out the fish randomly? Because fish are not easy to catch. So if you have a big body of water, and the fish can swim around and hide in little holes, so then you have no control of them, even if it's in your property, and that's why the Mishnah tells you that even that is considered mukta. And that position, as I said, is also the position of the Rambam in 14. Dagim it should be bibarin gedolim, chen chayav of should be bibarin gedolim, kol shum v'chutzer tzeida, ad sheomrim havei mitzuda unitzadenu. Again, we're going to come back to this formulation, which is from later on.
The definition of the word bibarin, because is it an actual river? Is it like
no.
fish farms?
Yeah, no, beaver is a smaller. Yeah,
from like a smaller matters. How small or how large?
Well, yes, but that's exactly like I said. We're gonna have to hold on to that because that's the last line in our Mishnah. Right? If you remember, just go back. Okay, let's look back at the Mishnah again. That's from Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel Omer Lo Kol Beirin Shavrin Zaklal Kol Mechoser Seida Aser Shenim Mechoser Seida Moser. Yes, meaning it's a. It's a stream. It's a.
Well, stream indicates in and out.
Yeah, fine. It's a. Not stream. Pond. It's yeah. pond. It's, okay. It's a smaller body of water, but again, it's not a specific size. That's Rav Shimon Gamliel's point. Is there are smaller ones or bigger ones? It's some, right? Pondy, swampy, something, right? So whatever it is. Again, it can be a variety of things in English. That's why it gets confusing because as the Mishnah notes, bibar can mean multiple things in Hebrew, different range. Again, the specific formulations is coming from the Gemara, so we have to hold off on that for the moment. But the point that we'll get to is the Rambam just says, Hareze Muksa. Ve'ein sadin osan beyom tovim sad lo yochelu. That you can't fish them on Yom Tov, and if you do, or you can't hunt them in the case of the animals, and if you do, you can't eat them. Ve'kol she'enu tzarach metzuda, reza muchon. And if you don't need to bring a trap, again, from later in the Mishnah and the Gemara, so then, hareza muchan is considered already set aside. So then you can fish them or hunt them on Yom Tov, etc., etc. Okay. Now, if you just look at the Ravid for... okay, we'll leave the Ravid for now. Okay, if you look at 15... the Tosas Rid introduces yet another formulation here, and he suggests as follows. He says, "V'hilkach tzeidasan asura biyom tov, v'chevan derov ha'tzeida asura biyom tov, tzeidas hadag nami asura, shem nadir tzeidas hadagim yavol lahadir tzeidas chayetz v'ofos." Tosas says, no. Tosas Rid says, no. Hunting animals, like wild animals, is a problem. Hunting, fishing in your private, pond is actually mutter. Why is it usher? It's usher because of gzeira. Because if once you're fishing, then you might as well go hunting. And if you're hunting, you'll be hunting out of whatever. So it's one big gzeira, meaning certain types of... But his point is, certain types of hunting and fishing is should be mutter, certain shouldn't. Right? Why are we much more expansive about it? A gzeira, because you might end up hunting too much. Okay. One more possibility is the... multiple possibilities. The one he actually takes, like I pointed out before, is the position of the Rambam of Mukta. But he has another possibility in 16. It says, so this is a radically different position, which is that it is about Ochel Nefesh, but not the way that everyone else took it, right? It's not the way the Ran took it, that it's a Gzeira Derabbanan probably, or the Ramban, that it's Melechaz Avoda, or the Yerushalmi, that it's after Lisha, or the Rajba, that Masar Davar L'Chachamim, or etc. So no, here, and it's not like Rashi either, that Efshem Ibad Yom. Here's the problem. Ochel Nefesh allows you to do Melachot that are for food. But maybe that's only for things which are Vadai, right? That are for sure. I cook, I'll be able to eat it. And therefore, the malacha is justified. Hunting and fishing, you could expend a tremendous amount of energy and get nowhere. Right? And get nowhere. And therefore, we don't allow you to do malacha al-hasafik. Then he says,
like when you cook on Yom Tov, because there will be a safek, the food will be edible.
Well, the real problem with it, so this is one problem, that's sort of, in jest, I assume. I don't know, I've never seen you cook.
It's not a pretty sight.
Okay. But the bigger problem, and this is, the reason that this is really, really problematic, is the bigger problem is shechita. Is that shechita is always a safek. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Meaning, shechita is obviously mutter, and shechita is always a safek. Cooking, pachot is safek.
Well, aren't there in shechita, there are degrees of safek? Because, for example...
Because it could be trefa, it could be, whatever.
Yeah. Right, but if you shecht one animal, if you're planning to shecht only one animal, there's no problem saying a bracha. But if you shecht a pigeon, for example, where the simanim are a different place, the minhag is to shecht the pigeon together with something else because of a safek.
Right, so again, we can get into the details, but the point is that fundamentally, shechita is...
But not by a fish.
What?
There's no
shechita by a fish. Fundamental point that ochel nefesh is only mutter, it's vadai, right, is challenged by shechita. I understand there's different levels of shechita.
I'm challenging the shechita of challenge because I don't know that much about shechita.
Right, but still, the point is that every shechita, in the end of the day, is a suffix of sorts. So you shecht an animal, right? If it's trefa, So there's always going to be a certain level of suffix, or Sam's cooking, or whatever, right? So, fine. He says, "Arei mikol makom tamzeno masbik l'chayim ofan." He told him, "Befrat shu miskavin lehem levad chen yesh." Right? He said, "I don't really love this. Right? This isn't great." V'chein yesh pirsho atam b'peros m'neishon g'delos k'tzas b'yomda v'chein tarchu b'zehar b'vitamim b'ful balam v'ikar d'arom k'shar k'shar. He said people give other reasons, right? He said all this is very confused, right? So I'm going to go back to Mukta, which is what he really thinks. So again, we saw last week, and we summarized it, all the Ochel Nefesh possibilities, and here's sort of another tweak on that, which is maybe it's only Mutter, it's Vade, but again, that's very problematic, because let me read notes, right? He said, people say it, but I don't know what this is, right? It's really about Mukta, according to him. And then, like I said, there's the Tosfos who says it's either Dereis, or Derabanan of Kotzer, or Oker, Dover, Migidulo, and the Miri and the Rambam themselves who take the position that it's Mukta, and then Tosfos Rid that thinks it's a Gzera of, right, at least fish or Gzera of other things. Okay, so that was finishing up
question.
Last week. So, yeah.
Actually, it might be a two-part question. Are each of these reasons, are they necessarily exclusive of each other?
Well, no, definitely not the Tosfos Rid, right? The Tosfos Rid is saying fish is a Gzera to Chayva Of. Why is Chayva Of Aser, right? So for sure not the Tosfos Rid.
Right.
But the Rid can easily be, not easily, the Rid is combining two, right? Meaning Chayin Of is Usher point one. Fish, for him, are Usher, Xer, Atu, that. So that's clearly combined. The Rambam, the Meiri, is clearly exclusive because he goes to the other ones and rejects them. I said, there are all the other Svaras, and I don't like them.
Okay.
Right?
I don't have the full bit.
Right, that's his last line, right?
Yes.
Right, meaning he's going back and saying, no, I think it's just Mukta, and the truth is that that's Mashma from the Rambam.
What I'm wondering is about, it says is that something that is that an independent klal or something derived from something else, or he's suggesting that
it's not his own
this particular halacha?
I assume. I mean, he's quoting other people, so I'm not really even sure who he's quoting. I think it's a Ra actually that he's quoting, if I remember. But I mean, Lav Dafka, I think so, maybe not. I'm not sure. I don't if it was a Ra. The Ra is not on Bar Ilan, so I think that's why I'm thinking it's the Ra. I don't have a Ra here. I don't know if it's derived, right? Meaning it's problematic to derive from anywhere else, because, like I said, Shechita, you know, I assume it's derived from here. Again, he doesn't like it.
Right, because it has implications.
Correct,
if
of course.
If there are other examples, then it's, you know, it's a halacha, but that in, you know, lo hiti lesot b'yomtov min hasafek, except it doesn't apply here, it's not the reason here. But if it's from here, then he's
correct.
He's throwing the whole notion out.
It fits with the Mishnah. Like, all the ones that talk about Ochel Nefesh don't fit with the Mishnah, because Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel makes no sense.
Well, he actually does, but we haven't even gotten there yet because we haven't done Sad.
No, his opinion, if you're saying
it's he does. Don't worry, he will make sense. He doesn't yet, that's true, but we haven't even touched Sad. I originally wanted to do Sad first because either way, right, no matter what you do first here, the sugya won't make sense, so you have the two main components here. Okay. We haven't gotten there yet, so let's move to, on that note, let's move to Sad. So we won't be able to get everything in the under Sad. So I've tried very much to get enough of a overview of the Malacha so that we can still be able to understand the sugya. Whoa, bad. Okay. How do you have them? Okay. So in order to understand all the positions here, so we need to what? Well, we do need to. I really wasn't sure. Like, how am I going to summarize it in a way that's going to be nice and clear? And then I'm like, you know what? I have Rav Gigi's article from the VBM from Ismicha Shirim, and he summarizes it so succinctly that it will be easy to understand, or easier. Okay? So I figured I would just give away the end. I'll give away the ending, right? And then we'll try to flesh it out a bit. Okay. First point. Tzad. There are two very different ways of understanding the Malach of Tzad. This is going to take us through our sugya, right? We haven't even read the whole sugya yet, but let's get the basics out first, okay? So as Rav Gigi points out, he's not the only one who said it. The Acharonim do it, but you know, if you know Rav Gigi, he can take what the Acharonim write in like 50 convoluted pages, right, and say it in two lines. He's the best. He's so clear. It's wonderful. I'm using his shirim a lot now because we just started Melachot Shabbos in our internal limud. We finished Ribbis. Now everything seems easy, by the way. It's amazing, right? For a year and a half, we were doing Ribbis and Amna'a, and we were reading all these endless Diyunim in Choshen Mishpat, and Choshen Mishpat / Yardei, they overlap at different points. But now, no matter what, and the year before that we did Erevin. Now we're doing Melachot Shabbos, everything seems easy. Even the Eglei Tal is like a bit of a convoluted writer. Everything is just a breeze. Anyways, so Gigi notes, there's two very different ways of understanding Tzad. Et ofyash Melachot Tzeda, Nitan Labin Mishnei Ofanim. Aleph, Hagbalat HaChirut Shel Baal HaChayim. Bet, Havaat Baal HaChayim L'Rishuto Shel Adam U'L'Shlita Tehore. There's two components of hunting, right? You limit the freedom of the animal, and you bring the animal into the possession of the human being, right? That's the two things that happen when you hunt. This question is the question, right, that drives basically everything in Melachat Seida, right? That is your introduction. Two lines, right? Now, before I get to the other things here, let's look at our Gemara and already start to see how this plays out, just to see what's in the Gemara. We're gonna have to come back to details as we go, but let's start again from the Mishnah. So, Ein Sadin Dagim in Abibrim B'Yom Tov. Vein Nosin Lefneihim Mizonos. Right? So you can't fish on Yom Tov from these ponds. You can't give them food. Well, Sadin Chayva Of Min Abibrim, but you can hunt animals from these smaller, like pens, or whatever. The nosin lefnei mizonos, you can give them food. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, lo kol abrim ben shavrin, zaklal, chol mechotzer tzeda, aser reshein mechotzer tzeda, mutter. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, not all are equal. Some is mutter, some is aser. It depends on whether it is already considered hunted. So the Gemara says, uriminhu, bibarin shel chaya vishel ofos, ein tzadin mehem, v'yom tov, v'ein nosin lefneihem mizonos. The Brisa tells you, that when you have these bibarin, you have these pens of the animals, you can't hunt them on Yom Tov, and you can't give them food. So kasha, chaya, chaya, kasha, ofos, ofos. So we have a problem. Right? We have a problem with animals, because animals, and with birds, because both of them, in our Mishnah, we say you can hunt them, and in the Brisa, you say you can hunt them, right? That's about as a frontal contradiction as you're going to get. So the Gemara says, Chaya, Chaya, Kasha, Ofos, Kasha, Chaya, Chaya, Kasha, Ofos, Bishlama, Chaya, Chaya, Lo, Kasha. The Gemara suggests a few answers. Maybe animals is no contradiction. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbanan. Maybe it's a machlokes titnan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer hatsad tzipor lemigdol utzvi lebayit chayev. Lebayit huda mechayev aval libibarin lo. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you hunt a bird into a tower or a deer into a house, so you're liable. Which implies that into the house you're liable, but into a bigger pen you would be exempt. Now, always remember, if you're exempt for putting it in there, then you're chayav for taking it out of there. Right? Right? Because you can only trap something, presumably, once. So, right, if you think, right, the more machmir you are the first time around, the more mekel you are the second time around. So, if Rabbi Yehuda says that you can't hunt into a bibar, then that means that once it's in the bibar, it is hunted already, it is trapped, and therefore it's permitted to take it from there. Chachamim omrim, the Chachamim say, well,
you see in the bibar, you are allowed.
No, into the bibar, you
are not chayev.
You're not chayev, right, you're not chayev, and therefore taking it out, you are chayev, right, other way around.
So he would be the ton of the Mishnah.
And therefore he would be the ton of the Mishnah. The Chachamim omrim, sipor limigdol, utzvi ligina, ulechatzer ulebibrin. And the Chachamim say that you are chayiv even to hunt them into a bibar. If you're chayiv to hunt them in the bibar, no, sorry. The Chachamim are the author of our Mishnah, because the Chachamim say that you are chayiv if you hunt them into a bibra, that means you're patur from taking them out, right? Which is our Mishnah. But our Mishnah said that by chaya. By chaya. We're talking about chaya. Right, right, right. We have to. By chaya. Fine. So el ofos avos vos kasha. What about birds? There's still a contradiction. So the chitema hanami lo kasha habi bibra makora habi bibra she'ino makora. So the Gemara says, maybe you'll tell me that it depends on whether this pen has a roof or not, right? Is it a roofed area or not? If it's roofed, so then it's, the bird is already trapped. If not, then it's not. But a house is essentially like a pen with a roof. And both Rehuda and the Rabbanan say that the Migdal, which is, is narrower, that's considered Seida, but not into a house. It's still free in the house, right? Therefore, your pater from putting it in, the chai for taking it out. So, Amar, Abba Baravuna, Hachavitzibar, Drora, Skinan, She'ena, Mikabeles, Marus. So the Gemara says there's a difference. It depends what type of bird it is. We're going to be more machmir on birds that are a tzipor dror, a free bird, a wild bird, because they don't accept human control. Now, you're right, so just to go back to our original chakira, what do you see already? Right, you see how this could go both ways, right? Tzipor dror, right? So what's the problem? Is it that it isn't mekabel maros and therefore it's harder to bring it into the possession of a human being? Or ain't mekabel maros and therefore even when it's in a small space, it's still going to escape? And therefore, it's still free, right? You can see how it can go both ways, right? And this is the issue that takes us through. Now, the next part of the Gemara I'm not going to do yet, because that's where we really, really flesh this out. But but this is really the question we're going to be dealing with throughout. Okay. So, if you go back to the source sheet, I've given you basically a snapshot here of this question. So you look at the Avnei Nezer, and the Avnei Nezer asked the following, wants to deal with the following question. One of the fundamental rules of Tzeida is that you're only chayev Tzeida for something which is bemino nitzod, right? You're only chayev for hunting something which is normally hunted. But if something isn't normally hunted, so then you're not chayev. So for example, this is actually an extensive discussion in Poskim. It's sort of funny. Human beings aren't hunted generally. Right? It's not bimino nito normally. Therefore, it's not usur midaraisa if, your kid is screaming like crazy to put them in their room, right? Because it should be, right? Isn't it hunting right now? They're in an easier space. No, the answer is no, right? Or your grandkid is running around wild, and you grab them and hold them and restrain them. Chayev midaraisa. No, human beings are not bimino nitzod. So there is a very strange Rosh Hashanah Zalman, which I remember. I found it when I was in Shana Bet when we did Beitza then, and I mentioned it to Rav Yair Khan at the time, and he didn't believe me. He's like, there's no way Rosh Hashanah Zalman said it. So I showed it to him, and he's like, I still don't believe it. It's ridiculous. It's insane. So Rosh Hashanah Zalman has this very strange discussion. And he says, well, maybe that's only normal people. But hermits who hate socializing are bimino nitzod. So if you were to lock a hermit in a room, you would be chayev. And this discussion to me is,
Well, what about slave traders, going to Africa?
I've had this show. I've wondered that. Yes. It's not like a politically correct question to ask. But
well,
it was the reality of
the 16th century. That
no, in a Hanami. And it is. It is, unfortunately. What slave trade and stuff like that?
Oh, the slave trade.
Yeah. Yeah. In a chanami,
I don't care if they're Africans, Chinese, or
right. But the poskim generally assume that this is not true, right? Human beings are not huntable, but so why is that? Right? Why is it? Now, by the way, this is one of the most practical halachic shailas ever. It comes up every year Sukkot time because the Gemara says that a snake is something which is ain't b'min. Now, here's basic halacha. Well, is as follows. Midaraisa, your potter from hunting something which ain't of amino nitzod, but it's also midarabanan. But if it's something which causes you pain, then it's mutter even midarabanan. So a snake, which you're worried is gonna bite you, so it's ain't of amino nitzod, right? And therefore, and also you're not hunting it because you want it, you're hunting it to keep it away from you. And since it'll cause you pain, so it's not just that it's mutter midrabbanan, it's mutter lechatchila. The shaila that poskim have is, what about bees? Right? Trapping bees. Mm-hmm. Right? Because on the one hand, they are b'mino nitzod. Right? Because, right, because we would domesticate them, especially honeybees. Right? But hornets. Most people, right, but like hornets, wasps, or the ones that are coming into our sukkah, they're not b'mino nitzod, and it's malachim chen sukkah gufa. We're not, we're not trapping them to bring them in our rituals, we're trapping them to get them away from us. Right? So, can you trap them? And I think the majority of poskim actually say you can. Right? There are some poskim who are less comfortable with this. I don't know how right Kropkin poskim, but I'm pretty sure that this was that right Turchino put this in his like weekly halacha before Sukkot.
That it's not allowed except if he uses some type of trap, or you can put temporarily.
No, you can trap it. You just can't kill it. Right? Killing. No. That's the point. You can trap it. You can't kill it. Right. That's also not. Whatever, that's also complicated. But
also the question but, about.
But at least trapping. So why is it that it needs to be something which is b'mino nitzod? So if you look at the Avnei Yezri, it says as follows. It says d'shanya melechat seida mishar malachos. And here he introduces something which is very mechudash, but it's always quoted. So background to it, the Balei HaTosfot say that the reason that hotza'ah, right, carrying, breaks all rules of malacha is because it's what's called the malacha grua. Right, it's a weak, paltry malacha because nothing changes. Right, I didn't do anything. I just took something from place A to place B. But right, bishul, kotzer, ma'amer. Well, maybe not ma'amer. Actually, that the Ketosah Shulchan challenges ma'amer. So leave ma'amer. Choresh, borer, probably gozes, whatever it might be. A change happened. Hotza doesn't change anything. So, the Avnei Nezer says, you know what? I think that the reason Seida has all these weird exceptions, one of them being Ein Mimino Nitzod, is Pater, is because it's a malacha grew up. Sheyesh ben shinui b'davar shenazim malacha. Most malacha, right, have a change. At a certain level, this is even more grua than carrying. Because carrying, at least it used to be in place A, and now it's in place B. I will say that in shum shinu v'gofachaya rak etzel ha'adam shenaz v'rishus. He said, "Be careful for the animal." Right? What's the difference? Nothing. Right? The difference is that the person now has it in his rishus. Val kain davar shabimino nitzad l'zor gofachah shabirshus o yesh lo davar ma. So he said. So here's what it is. It's in a certain sense a malacha grua. Because nothing really changed in the animal. What changed was the human being's control of it. But he said, okay, if what makes hunting or trapping significant is that the human being controls the animal, then that's only significant if it's the type of things that human beings bother controlling. But if it's something that no human being could care less about, then there's nothing significant that happened. Again, the right, the bee, assuming the bee is not a problem, right? You don't feel like you've accomplished something. I mean, you have. You've kept it away from you. But if tzad is about bringing it to you, I don't have a bee now. It's I don't have a bee eating the honey on my challah, right? So he says, aval davar shein b'mino nitzod, mishum shein v'hem toeles klal ein lo klum, af l'achar shein nitzod, kagon tzadzvuvim shein b'hem tzorach. But if it's not the type of thing you hunt, like flies, right, unless you're a geneticist, right? For me, this is sort of funny. My sister-in-law is getting a PhD in genetics, and her research is fruit flies, right? Is on fruit flies. So yes, then it is b'mino nitzod. But barring people who are getting PhDs in genetics and are doing research in labs, nobody else really collects flies. I think. Maybe I'm wrong. I guess people who own frogs, maybe they do. I don't know. I guess, yeah, I guess so. But usually not, right? He said, if you're not doing a letzorech, nimtzah.
You never read the Dracula movies. You never saw the Dracula movies.
No, I didn't. I always get, this is like the second time today. If you're, I get like this disappointed look. Like you haven't, you're not well read and well watched in movies.
This is something that David Horowitz would never miss.
So he says, Nimtza shalochashiv birshuso, Rak shematzil azma shalei azikulo al kein etzadan. Right, there are certain things you only hunt them to keep, right, to keep them away from you. Avalo nechshav sheish lo davar ma. But it's not like you now have something. So if it's not important that you have it, al kein lo chashav malacha klal. Then it isn't a malacha at all. V'chisvir le Rabbi Yehuda malacha shenzuch legufa chayev. And when does Rabbi Yehuda say malacha shenzuch legufa is liable? Heichal malacha v'malacha. Afelo atzarech. That's when it's a malacha objectively, and if it doesn't matter whether you need it or not, right? Meaning, if I do kotzer, whether or not I need to cut the orange off the tree, if I cut it, I cut it. But if tzad by its definition is about bringing something into my rishus, it has to be something which it's meaningful to be in my rishus. And if it isn't, then even Rabbi Huda will agree that it's fine. V'atzorech raki hechlav melechet machsheves. Having malach machsheves af b'tarch shein megufa, aval b'tzeida below a toelet lo havi malacha klal. By tzeida, without a benefit to you, it isn't even a malacha. Eino moel a toeles shul yaziku v'chanal v'dok. And the fact that I don't want it to hurt me, that's irrelevant. Because the definition of tzeida is bringing it into my rishus. So the Avnezer clearly, in our opening chakira, takes a very strong position that the definition of tzad is havat balachaim l'shuto. Right? Right? What?
Not the first.
Correct. Part. It's not about the animal's freedom. It's about your now ownership and control, a meaningful control of an animal. Rav Gigi notes this in three. B'dvarav nireh shebarur lo shekol achidu shemalechat tzeida it's clear that he thinks that hunting is all about, trapping is all about you having control. And therefore there is no tzad unless it's meaningful for you to control it. But Rav Gigi said, what if you take the other position? That it's about trapping, right? It's about minimizing the freedom of the animal. Nitan lehasbir, latzia hasbir zeh shel shlita adam gam b'liyah so shemalechet grua bitzeida. Sorry, saying you don't need to come on to grumacha grua. Adaraba hagoreim shemalecha grua yachol etzam tzemet yidrei malacha gam lemadi aber shitzeida ena shlita adam elag bar cherut. So that question is, you could call it grua either way if you wanted to. Shagbal zu mashmotid rak b'minim shedarkam bekach. But you could have said the same thing, right, for the other shita. You could have said, it's only halachically significant to say that we've limited something's freedom, if it's the type of thing that we could care less to limit its freedom, right? Meaning, in a positive sense, right? Meaning, the bee, or let's put it differently. A bee, if I am inside, I don't care how many bees are flying around the house. It's only because I'm outside in the sukkah that I have no way of keeping the bee away from me except if I trap it. But I don't care about limiting the freedom of the bee. Let the bee be as free as it wants, right? If I could, right, if I, you know, could, you know, if these things actually work, right, the scented candles that keep the bees away, I don't care if the bee, let the bee be free. So you could just as easily justify Ein Bamino Nizer from the other possibility, which is to say, no, it's only meaningful to have tzeda when you're hunting something which its trapping is meaningful rather than its being away from you is meaningful. Right? It's true.
Is limiting its freedom the way that you keep it away from you?
Not necessarily, right? You just, you know, let's say it's a...
You're better killing it, then.
Or closing the door to your house, right? It's only because of sukkah. You don't have, you know, it can come in through the schach, come through the walls, whatever. Right?
Well, sukkah, since you can't close the doors and so on. So the only way of limiting its freedom is to...
I know, Hanami, but the point is that it's not... you're not trapping because you want to trapping it. You're trapping because you want it away, right? To take the example, if you're in your house, right, if you need to, you'll trap the bee. But if you can wave it towards the window and shut the window, you'll do that. Meaning, as opposed to a hunter who wants to have the animal in his control. Here, I don't want it in my control. Well, now I'm going back to control. But again, what Rigigi's point is that you could say the Malacha Grua thing either way. But he points out that it's pretty clear that the Avnezer takes, well, I mean, it's totally clear. The Avnezer takes one position. But he said you could explain it the other way, even Bimino Nitzot, and say that the only thing that's significant is... Yeah, is those things that one second. Yeah, is those things that you want to limit their freedom rather than keep them away from you.
But that's a vague term. In other words, if you're talking about limiting something's freedom, putting an animal into just a pen may limit and have it in your reshoot, but it may not be sufficient for hunting.
Exactly. Like, so therefore, so I gave you here in 4 and 5, I gave you the Gemara and the Mishnah and Gemara and Shabbos, which we actually just read, right? The beginning of our Gemara is the same. I just gave you the exact parallel in Shabbos. So we read the first half of that Gemara. But then, let's think about the Machlokas Rehuda and Chachamim, right? Because this is really coming to Howie's point, right? Which is, you know, there are going to be different standards, right? Depending on where you trap them. So Rav Gigi notes, again, he's not the only one, but he's so clear when he writes it. He said, well, look at 6. Yitachen shezeh yisod Machlokas Tanaim Le'el. Maybe this question is really the Machlokas Tanaim. Because think about the Machlokas we had between Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim argue about how big a space can you hunt something into, right, and it still be considered, right, not nitzod, or right, or the flip side, that you still need to hunt it. So he said, well, think about it. According to Rabbi Huda, right, so, right, what's the, what, let's, well, let's flesh it out, right? According to Rabbi Huda, if you trap something in a b-bar, you are patur. Now, why is that true? Presumably because in the b-bar, the animal's freedom is curtailed, but you don't yet have control because it's small enough that the animal is now not a free-roaming animal, but it's large enough that you still got to put some work in to get it. The Chachamim say that no, once it's in the B-bar, so then its freedom is curtailed. So even though it's true, right, unless they're arguing in the Metzius, right, they could be arguing along this axis. So he said, maybe that's what their argument is. Shezeh yisod machlokas hatanaim la'el. Hayim kidei la'abor amalecha seyde yish lahavies as vila bayis. So shover kvar mikshem nich, kishem achni, so le'bibar. I mean, do you violate only what's in it? It's in the smallest place in the house, or even when you bring it into that larger pen. According to the Chachamim, that once it's in the large space, it's already hunted. That's because hunting is about curtailing the freedom of the animal. Right, in a pen, you don't yet control the animal. Ulam chirutanim not. But its freedom is curtailed. Ulam ledas Rabbi Yehuda hasover ki eino mischayvat shachnisen lebayit. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said, no, you're not liable until it's in the smallest place, meaning where you can control it, near a ki yisodah malacha oshlidas adam. Now he notes, kamuvan she'en hazeh mechuyav. This isn't, you don't have to say this. Maybe the Chachamim also think you need the control of the person. But after Shavana Das Chachamim, maybe they really are arguing about the exact nature of these different sized pens. It could be that it's just a... Right, it could be that they agree to the yisod and they just argue on degree, right? Meaning, it is just a quantitative machlokas, right? Meaning, Rabbi Huda is saying, it's clearly true that once you hunt something into the pen, it is less free than it was, and you have more control over it than before. You could say that their machlokas is just one of degree, right? Either that both of them think it's about the human being taking control. The question is how much control, meaning total control or even increased control, or they could both be arguing that Seda is about limiting freedom, and the question is, are you chayev once you limit curtail its freedom somewhat, or only when you curtail it absolutely? Right? So it could be a machlokas of degrees, or it could be a machlokas along this axis. But, and now let's go, okay, let's see how much time we're not going to have time. Okay, what's very fascinating here is actually fleshing this out in the second half of the Gemara, but that's going to take us more time, so I'm going to hold that till next week, because we'll do it short, short shrift. Let me just give you one more nafkamina, just because we have a few minutes. Let me just throw one out. I won't even read it. I won't read it inside. But in 14, I gave you this discussion for Gigi, which I find to be fascinating. When you kill an animal, do you also violate tzad? Right? If you kill an animal, do you also violate tzad? Do you kill, violate nitzlis and shamba, but do you violate tzad? So Rugigi suggested this would hang on this machlokas, right? Because he said if, again, I'll just say it outside, but you can read it. His Hebrew is very clear, right? He said, "Ima moked hu akbalat achofesh shel balachaim." It's the last source, right? Savir shemir gomer shem seda. If it's about, and this is how he understands it. He said, if it's about curtailing its freedom, if it's dead, it's hard to say it's about curtailing freedom. Freedom is not a meaningful category when something is dead. It is true that that is the sort of pinnacle of bringing something into your rishus. Now, of course, you could have just said, no, killing something is limiting its freedom entirely. But, you know, he suggests, again, maybe yes, maybe no, that that killing something isn't meaningfully curtailing its freedom. Its freedom ceases to be meaningful at death. And he notes that this seems to be machlokas rishonim, that Shmuel in Shabbos Kuf Zayin says that a sholat dog min ayam kevin sheyavesh bo kesela chayev, that when you, on Shabbos, you pull a fish out of the sea, so once it dries up, right, or part of its body dries up the size of a coin, you're chayev, because at that point it's dying or dead. Rashi says, Shehu nitzod va'omed bi bod yom. Right? He said, because it is hunted. Because it was hunted already, mi bod yom. Which midivrei Rashi muchach shem lo ya nitzod bod yom haychayv achshav shtayim. Which implies that Rashi goes out of his way to tell you that you're only chayev one malacha, meaning nitzilas neshama, because the fish had been captured before Shabbos, implying that if you went fishing on Yom Tov, right, and killed the fish, or you pulled the fish out that had him, you would have been chayev double. The Ravya, on the other hand, says, V'had deparech ilim Rabbi Yehuda, ha-malach she'en tzricha l'gufa chayev, ha'inu mishum tzedak, sh'arim ha'reim nitzodim, inami anetilas neshama parach v'loch ha'bura. So the Ravya actually brings two positions. One, that you're chayev tzeda, and the other one, that it's only nitilas neshama. So Rav Gigi suggests that this machlokas, right, whether killing you could be chayav for tzeda or not, which seems to exist between the two days and the Rav Yah, with Rashi claiming that killing something could be also a form of tzad. So again, he suggests, again, it's not muchrach, but he suggests that if it's about minimizing the freedom of the animal, so killing it isn't meaningful because freedom is not meaningful. If it's about bringing it into your rishus, so then it isn't your rishus. I would note, again, as I said, it's not mukhrach at all, because you could have said, no, it could be about curtailing freedom, and one could plausibly argue that killing something is the ultimate curtailing of freedom. That's not an implausible argument. But okay, that's another, that is another possibility. The last thing I noted here, I didn't give you any sources inside on it, because it's a bit complicated, but I'll throw it out there, is there's a machlokas, achronim, it really starts with Mishonim, but it plays out very extensively in the Achronim, whether you're chayev for hunting a slow animal. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman argues that if you hunt a tortoise, let's say, you're a putter, because it was always,
seizable.
Yeah, it was always seizable. And other Achronim note, now this depends, and this is why I didn't want to get into it in detail, because it's very complicated.
And if you have a snapping turtle?
Well, so, no, not snapping. They're like, whatever, a tortoise, whatever, a snail, who knows?
That's what I'm asking. You know,
No, it would depend on the, it would depend on the specifics. Now, the problem with it is that the Gemara in Shabbos says explicitly that you're chayev for hunting a tzav, which in modern Hebrew is a turtle.
There could be a lizard.
Right, so that's the problem, is that it's very unclear that Sav in Mishnaic Hebrew meant a turtle, it may have meant a chameleon. Right? So it's a very complicated sugya of what Sav means, and it's a whole Rev Ochanan Samet, who usually writes on Tanakh, but here he actually has a halachic article with his normal clarity in Tchumen Yudchet, summarizing this issue, goes through the whole thing, and you can look there. But he notes that presumably that question hangs on this as well. if you think that sad is about curtailing the freedom of an animal, then who cares that it was easy to catch the turtle or the tortoise before it was free and now it isn't. But if you think that sad is about do I or do I not have control, right? If it's so slow that I could seize it even in the wild with no trouble, then there's nothing meaningful happening when I actually pick it up. So Shlomo Zalman says, you're patur. Most of the Acharonim argue on this because, again, the Gemara actually says, you're chayav on tzav, and whether or not tzav applies to our turtles depends on how you understand the word. So that's a bit of a complicated academic discussion, but that svara is again, a good way of highlighting this. So next week we'll come down to the really the nitty-gritty of the sugya.
The word control here